it.
Niggas are so embarrassing.
To win any motherfucker over is being funny.
Nice word, you dunce.
You know, it's not kinda, it's normal folk.
Yeah, people who just want to just do music, just literally try to create something awesome and that sounds
That's
great.
Why I play bass, because I'm
Can
ugly
we
as fuck.
Start a super band?
Because we could just sit
and,
in the back.
DJ. Wear masks the sounds of animals fighting.
If you watch my videos of
just
us,
just kind of like go
I'm facing
from
away
there.
From the camera.
I think that's something... That's
I got asked for days.
Anthony, would you want to do
now.
A third
Uncle,
band?
Uncle Horsehead, let's go.
That way.
Yeah, all masks. I already have a couple different masks. Let's do it.
We'll do a third band for you that way.
Johnny, Digital Danic.
Will you play bass for this masked band?
Yeah.
Oh, babe, then you got to play another instrument.
Right now for us, right now, on the spot. Design your mask. What's your mask?
I already have
like?
A mask, dude.
What do you got?
I used to play when I played for Foreign, To Kill For, yeah. I used to play a gas mask.
Oh, a yeah. You used to do that too with the first couple bands I saw you in. And you painted your face. I was like, this man is committed.
That sucks for a vocalist.
I would love to do that. I would love to do that in my new band, but we're more serious. So
I'll have
can't
to
do
be
that.
Like,
I can't
be
cool.
You used to do that.
Have to be like Slipknot.
Mick.
Abracadabra used to do that.
Yeah, I used to do Abracadabra.
Yeah, you did.
And I was like,
we're all in a mass band together. All five of us in this room. Six of us. What are we doing? Six of us. Five of us.
Double bass. Are we running? Hey, wait. First of all,
all of us have a mask. What's your mask?
First of all, we running double bass or what?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can play drums.
Duh.
No, DJ. We gotta do double bass, dude.
Well, what's the theme?
There's no theme.
We're trying to find the theme.
We're talking masquerade.
We're trying to find the theme here.
Whatever you want.
Hey, man. Why don't we do? Steampunk. You got Johnny over there with his gas mask.
We can't
do animals because there is the sounds of animals fighting. Yeah, that's like fighting.
I have a Pokemon mask.
Ooh,
Pikachu.
Okay.
We Porygon. Are
Squirtle.
Porygon.
Porygon.
I'll be Pikachu.
That's a little gay, but I like it.
I'm thinking Porygon's the best Pokemon ever. Like a solid color of Globehead.
He is the world.
So like a round, like almost Mysterio looking.
It's like a light bulb.
I like that.
Every time Mike comes in, he goes,
"My world."
I'm gonna piggyback on the mix thing, and I'm gonna go with
shut the fuck up real quick. It's because Mick believes
just
the world revolves around him, so that's why he wants to do that.
Mike is the world.
No regrets.
He's my world.
If you notice how fat I am, there's actually a gravitational pull. I actually have my own moon.
It's Johnny. Johnny is the moon.
Go to me.
Johnny is the moon.
I have no control over that.
Johnny is the moon, man.
I put my hand right here. Look at.
Not while I'm mid sip.
That's one of those things.
Not while I'm mid sip.
I heard in my head the whole time. It's like once Nick said he was like, "I have my own moon." I was like, "Oh, it's Johnny." And then Nick said it. I was like, "Yes."
I already knew.
My face hurts.
Don't do it.
I can't. My face hurts.
Lava. You guys don't want to go there. Just
Mike's got a hot core.
That's right. It's all lava, baby.
Oh, he does.
Johnny's very familiar.
I get it out every once in a while.
We might be round earthers on this podcast, but we still believe in gravity, okay?
Oh, very much so.
But all right, Johnny, you did your mask, you used gas mask.
I definitely have to go gas mask.
You said you're going to do a globe. I said I think I'm going to piggyback on the mix thing. It's not a globe, but like a fractal, like a studded belt. All the way around my face, you know what I mean? Like the studs, that kind of thing, just all on my head. What about you guys? Masks.
Well, I'm gonna backpack off your shirt first off.
Tokyo Ghoul mask.
We're gonna do some Tokyo Ghoul mask.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's an opening in the mouth. You can still sing through there,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
But like, I could lose an eye. That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. You need one person able to project with their mouth.
Yeah, so I would backpack off that. I would do like a Tokyo Ghoul type mask, you know. That's what I would do.
DJ?
And then I've been playing Pokemon since 1998.
Porygon mask.
We're just going to be somebody. If we had one more person, we could be somebody's entire Pokemon squad.
The name of this band is Masked, but it's spelled with the double S, so it's M-A-S-S-K-E-D.
Can we masked. A question? Can we make the logo look like the you know
a butt cheeks?
No, look like the look like the mask from the 90s.
Bro, I saw that in theaters. I saw that in theaters. You can't even.
Talking about like Jim Carrey. We're gonna have to start playing fucking like you know with trumpets and all that shit. You know.
I mean, I'm down. I have some music. Trumpets in my garage if you want to borrow them. But like I'm always down to throw some random stuff in.
We had other songs on the board. We should.
Oh yeah.
We're supposed to get to those.
Yeah, we have other topics we haven't even touched.
Are you guys professionals?
It never happens.
No, don't ever confuse us for something like that.
It's a good
that.
It's a good show for riffing. It's a we're good riffing. Show for riffing.
No,
and we,
no, I'm, I am.
But I would love to get into our topics that we
Johnny,
have.
We got like six topics and we didn't even get to them yet.
Johnny, for well, real, we have I not. I do want to get to the promoters thing, man.
We have touched. We have wiggled to the first two. But the first two topics will overlap. So they will overlap like crazy.
Yeah, let's talk about playing live shows. What do you how long you guys been playing shows for?
When was our first show?
First of all, real quick. This is going to be a long episode, all right guys? You guys don't have to deal with that shit. Cuz we're having fun.
Johnny, you got shit to do.
Usually we go hour and a half.
Johnny, I'm going to tell you right now cuz I know you have to edit this later, yes. All right? It's 1:40. We're at 1:40. I want you to drop like a big like sound effect or something right here.
Long episode. We have friends over.
Here we pussies. Go. Listen, if you're listening,
if you're listening,
we've had a lot of chocolate milk. Okay,
I am on my third cut water.
This episode will be called Twisted Teats.
Hey,
chocolate milk.
We're on our hour and 40 minutes, and we're going to keep going because this is going to be a long episode. We've been steadily doing about an hour and a half. What's 2 hours and a half, you know?
2.5 hours.
Okay, so I teach math. That's, yes. You know, an hour is 60 minutes.
Right.
Lord, this man's going to go
plus
on math.
60 also. Minutes is 120
right.
minutes.
Right.
Plus a half. Mike, half save us.
Mm-hmm.
Nine.
I was genuinely like invested. Like, where's like, he going with this?
Yeah, he's gonna start teaching math.
He's the only one with 4 or 5 cans over there.
No, but Johnny, you literally just
about to be number.
You
six.
Made a whole point about how we're gonna go long because you had a big point to make. What was that point? Go ahead and remember it.
We haven't done a long show in a while.
Point.
So my point is that we're gonna do a long show today.
Good point.
Because fuck you guys. Anybody got anything to do or say?
Yeah. Properties of nature. Let's go.
Properties of nature.
Whatever that means.
Oh. Is that on the board?
Yes, it's on the board.
I can't read.
It's actually on the board.
Honestly, it is on the board. I really want to show you guys my song because this song is lyric video. This song has been making waves. So after this, I'm going to show you.
I already have it.
Oh, yeah. Yours is on the top of the board.
What's yours, Johnny?
Hand new mankind, but we could do it after.
I thought that said we'll humankind.
Yeah, fuck you.
You
dude.
Have a specific properties of nature song.
Let's do yours. Fuck you, dude.
Bud Lightyear, Chalupa Cabra.
I need some marijuana, dude.
Chalupa Cabra. I'm gonna go with it.
Yeah, right.
Or give me that.
Chalupa Cabra.
Whatever.
He's not hearing me.
I need something. What? Which song, Mick?
Yeah, I was asking you the song. Chalupa Cabra?
Sure. He said,
I already like it.
Yes.
Is this Mick plugging his own band?
Yeah, I know, right?
Sorry.
This sounds like some shit you would make, bro.
And he do no wrong.
Mike is always experimental.
Love it.
But always the right kind.
Sounds like Donovan...
Maliero? Dude, it's giving me Royal Coda. A lot like birds.
A lot like birds.
A lot like birds. Show them titties, Mikey.
Give us some.
So now that we've paused
it. Give us some background, Mick.
That music video you guys made. Like.
Monday.
I love it.
It's gay.
Like, I saw the clip of it, and it's like I wasn't ready for it.
Like, we'll you in them round glasses, we'll give me life.
We'll show you guys the full
dude,
deal.
You should see the gear closet. It's like full of glasses, dude.
Like, I seriously played it back like 4 or 5 times. Because I was like, oh man, it's so good. It's so good.
I appreciate that.
It's so good.
Thank you.
So good.
It's gay, but yeah.
No, it's gay in the right way.
We'll play it at the end. We'll give them a snippet.
They'll give them a plug at the end.
Okay, we'll plug it at the end.
We'll punch it in.
I love it. I fucking love it.
Thank you.
Donnie, what do you think of this? Because to me, every time I hear a band that has singing in it, I know you're like,
what?
Not in.
Not singing.
I want Taco Bell.
What is it that makes singing
rawr?
Singing like a girl.
Let me kind of bridge it for you a little bit. Okay. Why we like it.
All right.
And you guys can kind of tell me what you think about this perspective.
Today, Junior?
Three Cup Water's in.
Today, Junior?
Leave my brother alone. Let him talk.
No. Let's go.
We're all mildly intoxicated.
So for me, well, we like it. It's like the listenability of it.
It's getting harder to say.
The way it falls on us.
Yeah.
It's real simple, and you can just instantly get into the melody.
Right. I do like that about it.
Well,
are you talking about singing itself?
No,
the second song started.
What he considers girl music.
Yeah, what do you consider girl music? Because you've said that, and I'm like...
Honestly,
Asking Alexandria, Chiodos.
No. Not band names.
The style.
No.
Not the style. What about the style that makes you trigger
girl music?
Probably the fact that it has singing in it.
Just listen to the last band. And he was like, "Oh, I like this. I like this."
Yeah, he liked Wilder.
It's not just singing. It's this
a higher range of vocals.
No, not high range, but it's the style of singing. This
maybe we should just.
Is it trying to be like melodic?
No, not melodic, because I listen to a lot of melodic metal that's different than
I mean, like the way they sing, like it's if the guy's trying to sing like a pop singer.
Everybody
shut up.
So that,
Johnny, I want at least 10 more seconds of your impersonation of
girl music.
That's
the money.
Okay. This is what I'm thinking. It's like very pop style vocals.
Yeah, pop. That's what I'm saying. Like trying to be a pop singer.
Not only pop style vocals, but pop music and metal. Asking Alexandra is a very good example.
He doesn't like the newly dubbed genre baddiecore.
No.
What the fuck is that?
I don't know what that is, but
type it into Spotify. I kid you not. I was scrolling through my feed and then this thing comes up and this guy was like, "Have you heard this new genre?
Give an example.
It's baddiecore." And I was like, "What the freak's a baddiecore?"
Let me give you an example. Here we go.
I can't.
So asking Alexandra, whack. that style I can't do.
I don't like them either.
But I listen to Taproot. Which is a lot of vocals, a lot of clean vocals, but the music is very...
You're talking about Taproot?
I love Taproot.
So,
a lot of clean
Spirit
vocals.
Spiritbox is considered baddiecore.
Okay. This makes Spirit sense
boxes?
To me,
Spiritbox?
Immediately seeing some
Spirit
of the
Box.
References they referenced here in this video, like,
I love Spiritbox. I think
which
Spirit
baddiecore confuses
dope.
Me because it's a new thing, a quote-unquote new thing, and if I was going to say baddiecore, old school... you got like back in our day, right? Issues. What Was Me is baddiecore.
What about Ginger?
This actually goes a little
bit. Anything with Johnny Craig is baddiecore.
No, you think so? Yeah. I wouldn't call most of what Johnny Craig did in his prime.
Slaves would be any sort of core. Slaves would be baddiecore.
Johnny, he kind of not you, Johnny. Not,
first of all,
not
let me say.
Guy,
first of all, let me say this.
But
let me say this real quick.
That.
He has a great
in
first
in
name.
Johnny metal? That
Go ahead, Anthony.
He spells it different from me, so it doesn't fucking matter.
It doesn't matter.
I would say Johnny Craig, that was a vocalist. We were talking about vocalists that just have like a fucking thing to their natural, how they sound.
I hate him, but I love him at the same time. I still listen to him and I'm like,
I think the person, Will Swan, I heard an interview with Will Swan that he put it the best way I could ever have it put. Is that Johnny Craig is an idiot savant. He's literally a person who is like in a complete fuck up.
Reminds me of Fallout 4.
When you get him in the pocket, he will do something brilliant for
the
you.
The dude,
and,
like...
And that to me is like, I've seen in my own life people that are like that, that are like so good at something, and then they just won't even take it seriously.
Who's Johnny Craig again?
I don't know exactly.
No, he's a singer who's a very talented singer.
That he was in Dance Gavin Dance.
From like 2009 to 2016.
Yeah. What band is he in?
First singer of
Nothing
Dance
now,
Gavin
I don't
Dance.
Think. First yeah, he's singer, the first singer of Dance Gavin Dance.
He was in Amorosa.
Amorosa. Yeah. Yeah. Slaves. All gay girls.
And he did his own.
He doesn't even know who they are.
I don't like any of the stuff he's been in.
I
know exactly who
but
Amorosa is.
But you're really like that too. You don't like any pop.
I don't like anything.
You don't like any pop singers.
No, in, I don't like any.
He's like, I don't even.
He doesn't like any.
Like you.
He doesn't like any pop singers in any type of core music because.
Oh God, recording another, is a nightmare.
Another band that I really like is Envy on the Coast, and that guy is like
garbage.
Almost like a soul gospel singer. I'm obsessed with him. He's probably one of like my best. Favorite vocal
no
singer
standards.
And he hates him, but I use him as a reference all the time when
he
I
has
sing.
No standards.
That guy
she picked
awesome.
Me.
Okay, Tori, what about that guy makes you? What about that particular singer makes you like? Oh,
why I like him?
No, not why you like him, but why it's so how do you say convincing to you that he's that is a good singer to you.
I mean, because every good singer is subjective,
no,
right?
No,
it's always subjective.
Tori, I'm sorry. I'm going to take this immediately because I already have the answer that I think is the real answer to it. It's just that fucking natural talent thing. Dude.
Yes.
I don't even like that band, but I've heard them on shuffle and I'm like, this singer's good. And that's the thing, dude. There's especially as singers, dude. Let's say the three of us like relating as people who try hard to sing, right?
Well, I'm a vocalist too.
Shut the fuck up, Johnny.
Shut up,
yo.
He's probably the best one here.
My favorite rap line that I heard from Johnny when I first heard him was he literally came in and he said, "The Earth's womb."
The Earth's womb.
I said that.
Welcome to the Earth's womb.
Wait, what?
No, yeah, me too. I'm like,
born into the earth's womb. Welcome to the light.
Yes.
No, I didn't say that. No, wait. What song
you
is
did.
That? What song
you
is
did.
That?
You did. It was one of the first songs you did with Mike and Sean, and you literally were like, the earth's womb.
I don't remember that.
You are FF.
Hey, Johnny.
Yo, that sounds gay as hell. I don't remember saying that.
Johnny, spell earth.
E-A-R-F. F.
This is ERF.
But yeah, no, as people who attach themselves to melody, I think that's a specific thing that there's a part of the population. Some of us we're obsessed with that shit. We're upset. Like we have an obsession with whether it be singing or trying to sing good or whatever. There's just part of our minds that, you know, this guy doesn't relate to. You know what I mean? Like where it's like, you talking shit on the Envy on the Coast vocals,
I talk
right?
shit about everything.
Right.
You got to
right.
narrow it down.
Can you explain it in more detail, Anthony?
I did. Envy on the Coast.
The fuck is that?
What was the band you
said? Yeah, Envy on the Coast, you're right.
So you not enjoying that vocalist, right,
no,
in particular. That is a thing that to me, like, okay, as a vocalist, I feel like there's this element of even if you don't get the music, you get the singer.
Because there's singers of bands that
so
I love.
I hear you ready, too.
I am a very harsh critic on singers.
No, it's just a question for you, Anthony.
I don't like any singers.
So you have that perspective on it, but let me ask you this, though. Like, so you having that opinion about it, is it just the fact that you appreciate what you appreciate, or is it that you respect that you can't do what he does?
It's a little bit of a column A, a little bit of column B. I would say, honestly, when I see someone who does something that I can't do, of course it gleans respect for me.
Okay.
Absolutely
now,
it does.
Now.
Because I'm not only jealous of the fact that they could do it and the fact that I would want to do it and be that in that position, but also like being completely transparent is that that's something I've aspired to do, something that I've aspired to try to do in my life, and watching other people accomplish it gives me a genuine like fucking spark, dude, of like inspiration.
Yeah.
You want to push yourself to that.
Yes, exactly. It's, yeah. It pushes me. That's a good word. It pushes me to try to be like that good.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you can still be a critic of something even though you can't do it.
Right.
And I feel like I am a critic. Like, we just talked about how I don't like certain
people. Look at Johnny. Like, he's a critic of everything, and he sucks at everything.
I fucking hate everything.
Like, look. Like, what I was trying to say, like, there's vocalists that if we were really going to, like,
nitpick. I literally hate everything.
If we were really going to nitpick them as vocalists,
we
right?
We fight after every podcast.
For instance, I am a huge Brand New fan.
Johnny's fist bites my ass.
Like, Brand New is my one of my favorite bands of all time. Like, I could listen to Brand New and cry.
Right.
But Jesse Lacey is not a really great singer.
I listen to Brand New.
I mean, if you want to look at it technically,
but his emote, the way he emotes in songs is brilliant.
This is the real meat of that conversation, dude, of what a good singer is, right? Because on a universal scale, a lot of people could agree that Celine Dion or Adele or Mariah Carey are this brilliant singer, mm-hmm. right? And that's their talent, I agree. Right? Yeah. But you peel the curtain back, they didn't write their own music. Mm-hmm. They didn't do. Jesse Lacey is this type of figure where he wrote his own fucking songs. And then he performed them at the best of his ability.
Yes, but the way he emotes kills everything.
Here's the thing about music is it's all subjective.
Yeah,
what I said the same is good and evil.
Subjective.
Well, it's all subjective.
You can measure sports in the talent because of the games and the stats. But you can't measure music.
That's not true.
No.
That's not true. Whatever I say is right.
Music is that's the go-to with music. That's the go-to with music. When people want to say, oh, like when they try to like explain what they're doing, oh, it's all subjective. No.
Well, art is subjective.
Art is subjective. But as a singer, are you effective?
Yes.
Are you effective?
Which Jesse Lacey is effective as a singer,
at what he does. Is he effective at making that project come together?
Which he is.
I read this I thing agree. One time.
I like that stance.
I read this thing one time.
Still gay, like, but yeah.
In my early days of producing.
Yes. Right. I did.
I didn't give a shit.
And like, I determined it is gay.
But my early days of producing, I was reading this thing, and there's this thing called the 7 second
rule. You're impossible.
But there's this thing called the 7 second rule.
I hate that so much.
Yeah, but
seven second rule kills everything.
Is the 7 second rule.
So am I.
Similar to I'm not the driving 5 second today.
Yeah, if it doesn't catch your attention in 7 seconds of the song, it sucks.
Horseshit.
But it translates.
I'll tell you this.
That translates into
fucking lies.
But there's some songs that have intros where you're like.
No, but honestly,
what's my most famous saying? If you don't remember the hook, it's not good.
Oh,
enough.
Are you putting on okay. Jesus Christ?
I was about to. Yeah, I'll play it in the background because
my favorite song is Sowing Season. Sowing Season makes me cry every time.
It's a brilliant dude. That's where I'm talking about. Like where arrangements could be just like.
That's what I told you.
Elements.
I'll cover
but
Sowing
this
Season.
This song catches you in the first 7 seconds.
No, it does not. We're already 7 seconds in, and a note hasn't even played.
You're talking about 7 seconds into when he opens.
It's been more than seven seconds and it has not captured my attention at all. But that's fine. And to me, I think that's a horseshit concept.
And I love Jesus Christ.
Oh, this guy.
He loves you too.
But no, okay. They made this track literally. It's so like all this like kind of like ambient guitar like noise for the first 7 seconds to break that rule.
Well, this whole album broke a lot of rules.
This record, they put this out to the behest of what was it, Island or Capitol that they were on at the
Capitol.
Time. And they put it out to the behest because they intentionally broke a lot of those rules. Mm-hmm. And it's still regarded as one of the most like strong emo screamo releases of all time.
This is my favorite emo album of all time. If people have not listened to this album, you do not know emo music until you listen to Brand New.
It's definitive.
You're a failure in
the Remember that time we tried to cover Eminem? I was thinking about
that.
Was
so hard.
With him
actually,
and
that
him.
That was good.
Dude, remember? When the chorus kicks in and it's a half a beat off.
I can wrap that sounds good, though.
It's literally half a beat off.
Right?
We got to finish that.
Was it the one?
I'll wrap it. I'll wrap it.
Dude, do it.
Dude.
That's my favorite. Eminem's my favorite.
I don't know.
I don't have the file anymore.
Invited him to this conversation. Nick, do you want to finish the song?
Dude, he can touch my butt anytime.
We can finish the song.
Wait. Who's going to rap it then?
Exactly.
I haven't rapped in years, so it won't be me.
So he was gonna scream it.
Which screaming is just rapping with a raspy voice.
Bitch boy was gonna scream rap it initial. But it's like when the chorus kicks in, I remember spending.
We covered in one of my bands that song Win, win, win. No matter what,
and I had to rap that. 2.5 hours trying to figure out the click for that song.
And I had to rap the ludicrous part.
And it's like it's just a half a beat.
I had to scream it. I was like, ooh.
It was wild. And then we went to Jack in the Box at 2 a.m.
But yeah, so shut Johnny up, Mick. Let's be honest here.
Johnny, shut the fuck up.
I don't even know the context if you play
Machines, which is what you want, right? Johnny is going to think that's girl music.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably. Absolutely.
That guy, like, he's a high-pitched singer. Like, he's not super melodic. He's a high-pitched singer. I think that band's fantastic, but Johnny's going to think that's girl music.
I can play it. I'll play it.
It is girl music. It is girl music.
You like Of Machines.
You don't like Of Machines, do you?
I like Ivory Line.
Ooh, Ivory Line. Yes. Be Still and Breathe. Thank you. That's a good song.
So you like Ivory Line, DJ, but you don't like Of Machines?
Be Still and Breathe.
You think it's a problem how much these bands I see is gay?
I think this all speaks to exactly what my theory on music is, that people will allow what they choose to allow into, they have selective.
That's the thing with music, though. It's all subjective.
That's right.
What I say isn't right.
What I say isn't right.
It's just like good and evil.
Why even to have the conversation right, like there's girl music and heavy music? Why
the Jedi the think they're good.
No.
Go, Mick.
I don't like when people use that's the go to. Oh, music is subjective. It's not subjective. You like what you fucking like,
But that's the definition of subjective.
But hear me out.
I'm hearing you out.
The music, saying that you have to respect the listener.
I do,
as an artist.
Yeah.
Because you have to respect other artists because of that.
Let me tell you guys this. I respect that you guys listen to gay music, and that's fun. There's nothing wrong with that.
Fuck.
Johnny doesn't kill it often, but he killed it on that one.
Yeah.
So when it comes to music, like,
you're lucky that I just like impending doom right, already.
No. When it comes to music, two dimensions.
DJ's being insightful.
I'm the only one that brought.
That's how Johnny.
One thing that really.
There's too many voices.
I'm the only one that brought Mr. Bungle and Fantomas to this podcast. So fuck you guys.
Well, let DJ talk. DJ's being insightful.
That shit,
so here's the thing. When it comes to music, what really bothers me, and I'm guilty of this all the time, is when something we don't like, we say it sucks.
He does that all the time. That's why he skips half of my playlist.
Yeah.
Because I listen to everything.
In reality, it's
not for you.
Like, that's just my opinion. But
DJ, come on.
I'm not the end all be all on what's good or bad. Just like you aren't.
That's the subjective level of.
So it's like.
But guess what? You want to know what makes that rule a little bit shitty? You want to know what makes that rule a little bit like fucked up? Is that at the end of the day, if you can make a type of music that pretty much every lowest common denominator relates to.
Not possible.
No, Taylor Swift is out there, dude.
Easy.
I don't like Taylor Swift.
Remember when we covered Taylor Swift?
This is my point. You can make music for the lowest common denominator and it will be incredibly successful. Incredibly successful.
But what about for people like me and Johnny who think it's girl music?
That is girl music, though.
You guys will sit Taylor on Swift the wings is girl music.
And she's ugly, so it's like a double whammy.
She's a white woman.
But at the same time, there's no arguing with the idea that she's selling out fucking stadiums. She's successful in every regard of what we consider a successful musician.
Low
and
all those things,
as much as we shun them, as much as we shun them, as much as we curse the idea of them bastardizing what we do as an art versus them doing it as a form of entertainment, it's kind of assaulting to us.
Yeah.
It's kind of offensive to
is
be
it
like,
bad
oh,
that
yeah,
I stopped listening to that halfway to make, through? To
make my guilty pleasure is the Jonas Brothers.
To make a thing that speaks to...
I'm not going
to
lie.
To make
God damn it, what you want? What you really,
the
really want?
The new Jonas Brothers.
Oh, dude, I like the Spice Girls.
Not so. The old Jonas Brothers.
Okay,
the
okay, new okay, Jonas okay, Brothers. Okay, okay, okay. Guilty pleasures. Let's go.
Go, yes.
I like that.
Yes,
that's
like
not even on the board.
I don't care.
Fuck the board.
Fuck the board.
We have to get to the first two on the board.
No, we haven't even
okay.
To the first
okay.
part.
Cobra Starship. For me,
the
Cobra Starship.
Nice, bro.
See,
it's I'll give you Hello Goodbye.
Oh, I
hello,
love that.
I
though.
Love Hello Goodbye, dude. I'm sorry, dude.
Dude, I listen to Cobra Starship all the time.
Yeah. Like, it's so gay, dude. It's so gay.
Yes, you
Johnny. Are. Johnny, guilty pleasure?
Shit, that's tough. That's tough for me.
I only listen to manly I'll shit.
Listen
to,
I'll, so, yo,
you're going to have to take
what
your pants
do you
off,
listen
people.
To that nobody would expect yo, you to
I'm,
ever listen
yo, I'm,
to?
I won't listen to good music, guys. Sorry.
Which Backstreet no. Boy is gay?
That's it.
Chocolate Rain.
He's, no, the okay, fact that he's taking that. So long just tells me that he literally probably goes home to listen to
well,
show tunes.
Listen, we
do you listen to Liza
nah,
Minnelli,
Shania Twain, Adele.
Let him think.
Spice
I want to hear what he has to say.
No, he has it bookmarked in his fucking phone browser.
He has a playlist.
No, we mentioned it earlier. I would say Creed is one of the ones that.
Oh, really? Does it take you higher?
Creed. Every time.
okay.
Every
but
time.
I'm going to ask you, do you genuinely listen to it?
Like, yeah, I'm listening to Creed. Yeah.
Right. He listens to right. With arms open.
With DJ. Arms wide open.
Guilty pleasure,
open.
DJ.
I've named like 7,000 of
give
those.
Me one more.
Backstreet Boys, Spice Girls, Adele. Like, Shania Twain. You
Shania
name it,
Twain.
You name it, I love it.
Hey,
and I
okay, when I right first started, when I first started doing music, the first genre I ever played was country, and I used to cover Shania Twain.
Nice, everybody,
dude,
right now,
dude, her karaoke nights.
I feel like a woman.
Bam, 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 bam.
Shania Twain would.
Hell yeah,
definitely would.
Meg, you said yours. You said your guilty pleasure.
Definitely.
You should say him again.
Mick I don't know if I said mine.
Mick Shania
you
Twain.
Said,
my guilty pleasure.
You said hello goodbye.
Honestly, it's probably the guiltiest of all guilty pleasures.
Oh God, let's hear it.
I enjoy, yeah. I genuinely enjoy, and not the original version, but the new performance of it. It gives me chills. It makes me like kind of like tear up. But the performance of there's like the 20-year anniversary of Hanson's Mbop.
You're a faggot.
Yeah, but it sounds way better
it
now.
So good.
They're so they're
so
actually
good.
Really good singers now.
So,
I'm
no,
like,
no, no,
what
no, no.
happened?
Okay. Dig this.
Which is okay. Which is why no, I said about the Jonas chills, Brothers.
No,
I feel like they sing
this,
way better
this.
Now. What
so,
the heck Mbop, happened?
Let me tell you something. Me and you are relatively the same age, right?
Yeah. You're like a year
I was like a baby when that song came out.
Okay. I have to.
86, right?
I have. You guys are the same age.
I'm 86 October, but you're like
June.
Younger
so
than
you,
me.
So
I'm you're older than me.
Yo, I'm 88 October.
You're older than me.
What's your birthday?
Wait, I'm 89, bro.
Shut up, Johnny.
June 86.
Mick is older than me?
Mick's the oldest guy.
Yeah, Mick's the oldest. And I'm the baby. I'm a 93.
Hey, daddy.
Ooh, that pisses
you're
me
baby.
Off.
I'm a 93.
Oh,
so I'm a baby
oh,
in here.
Okay,
these guys have so much time on me.
This off camera.
So most of us are the last good thing that's coming out of the 80s.
Wait. Anthony, what's your birthday?
October 8th, 1986.
I'm October 18th, bro.
I know, we're close.
88.
Oh, wow.
Are we gonna
no, we're not
89.
That close at all. Shut the fuck up. I'm
not
from you.
That's what we're saying. You guys are all 80s. I'm a 90.
I am
a 93.
Last good thing to come out of the 80s.
What?
August of 89, baby.
Yes.
So they were actually going to go, since the 80s were so great, they were going to go to 1980-10. But then I was born, and they were like, fuck
the fuck
it, we're going to go to the 90s.
He's weird.
He's talking about a thing that would have broken time.
Yeah, well, he was trying to break time because the 80s were so great. Let's be real, the 80s were great. I love me some new wave.
They were going to keep the 80s going. And then I was born in 1989. They were like, fuck it.
We can't stop it here.
We have to go to 1990.
So because of you, they had to change it.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the only reason we had the 90s, the
2000s. Real quick, if I wasn't born, they were going to go to 1980-10.
Real quick.
Respect this, man.
Real quick. That makes total sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we were all great, you know? And then they're like, we can't top
Then they had to end you so they could get to me. Thank you.
That makes sense.
I have to tell you, dude, like the 80s and the 90s had the best pop culture.
That's right, man.
No, what?
Like I was talking about it with him. Dude, I've been on this kick. I've been rewatching One Tree Hill.
One Tree Hill.
I used to watch One Tree Hill growing up. First off, One Tree Hill.
That's Dawson's Creek.
One Tree Hill was
all the same show.
One Tree Hill was.
It's a trope. We're doing a trope.
No. So I was talking to him about it. I was like, look.
No, no. What's a Smallville song? Sing the Smallville song.
Somebody save. That
there
one.
We go.
Somebody save me. Well, One Tree Hill is, I don't want to be anything other than what I've been. That's One Tree Hill. One Tree Hill's Gavin DeGraw.
DJ's got a beautiful voice.
Anyways. The how emo music was so involved in the culture back then. Every episode, Dashboard, Fallout Boy.
Do you guys remember when Taking Back Sunday was on Degrassi?
Yes.
Sunday was on Degrassi.
That popped up on my Instagram.
Bro, that was a
That's
thing.
Crazy.
But how involved all that stuff was in pop culture. Like people don't realize like that was how involved that stuff was in pop culture. It seems like it's so on the side. It was not on the side back then. It was in there.
Yeah.
Like it was very deep in there.
But did you guys see Gojira? At the Olympics.
Yes,
bro.
That was amazing, bro. That's how I was like, yes, I you know see you,
so
friends.
I'm fucking proud of that. Is that I use archetype Gojira? You know,
and then the Olympics are going to come to America and we're just going to have Taylor Swift.
Yeah, yeah. That's fucking bullshit. We can't have a goat here.
Yeah, yeah. We're not going to have metal.
All right, boys, we are officially at a 210 here.
Who cares?
We're going start for wrapping up.
Fuck it. This is going to be a part two.
We got 20 more minutes, bro. Let's go.
Just to the Lord.
Just let you know, I'm taking another piss because
I'm gonna go with you at the same time.
Do you want to do a pause and then
get out of here?
Yeah, let's pause.
Get out of here, pussy.
Pause it.
Take a pee break.
Wait, before you go to the YouTube.
I'm on the YouTube already.
And go to Hanu Mankind. While you go to take a piss, we're gonna listen to this.
Let's go. Let's do it.
No, go take a pix first because
I'm gonna go with
you. I want you to hear this.
Go take a pix.
Just pause the episode.
I got a sword fight right now.
I gotta go to a piss episode.
Piss break. Piss break.
All of us are gonna go Ghostbusters.
Fuck it. It's gonna be a long episode. Fuck it.
This is gonna be either a two-part or a long episode.
Make it a part one and a part two.
It's gonna be a long episode. Fuck it. I'm down. You guys down? You know? Does anybody got anything to do today?
I don't know.
No.
What's in this movie?
All right then. So everybody,
hey, we're all going to Long Beach to that bar. Listen,
watch this.
It's gonna be freaking cold by the time we get
out.
Put
it on, DJ. Yo, check out this video, dude. This video is fucking sick.
You're fucking.
Wait a minute, get it how you live it.
Johnny, why don't you do that in your music videos, bro?
Big stepper.
I already like it.
Right, Mick, does he not have a sick flow?
He's really good at stylizing his words.
Mick, I've been learning, bro. I've been learning.
Yeah, but that's what makes them unique, though, in their genre is the flow.
Yeah,
how they flow on their music.
Yeah, it's the style.
So, am I crazy to say that the people that like play and listen to screamo music have the widest range of stuff they like?
You're crazy.
Not you.
Well, what happened?
Not you, but you're so limited, though. I know you.
But I like this.
So do I.
Because I work with someone that listens to nothing but death metal, and they would never like something like this. But, like, the people that play what we play and write what we write, we have a really wide range of what we can tolerate.
I always attested that, though, to my the way I grew up, though. I never really attested that to what I play.
I don't know if that's just because, like, the producer side of us... And we've recorded such a wide variety of stuff that we can tolerate a bunch of stuff.
I don't think it's tolerating it. It's like you get better and better. I think like making a product. Like
but I liked this. Isn't what I listened to, but I like it.
It's a good product.
Yeah,
it's a good product.
But it's like being able to listen to something and identify something in it that's good.
Okay.
And latch on to that. Okay. If that makes sense.
The coolest thing about this is that the stunts in here are all real. So the guys on the motorcycles that are going around the whole dome are legit. The fucking car that this guy's in rapping still is legit. It's not fucking CGI or nothing. It's really happening. It's fucking sick, dude.
Yeah,
I mean, you guys are saying
I was hooked.
Anthony, you didn't hear it.
What? But like, we'll the instant that started playing, I was good. Hooked.
Yeah, I mean, we have plenty to again, watch.
7 second rule.
It hooked you real quick, right?
Yeah.
I thought his flow was sick, but that like, sick flow. I agree with what you're saying though, with like people. I guess in our genre, I don't know. Like, I don't attribute it to our genre though. I attribute it
But it's like. We're kind of like in between a bunch of genres.
Well, yeah, because our genre likes to incorporate other things in it.
And it's like the people that are on the extreme, but like the people that are on the extreme ends, they're like nothing but death metal or metal. But I feel like
for myself,
or they're like nothing but pop, and we're kind of like in between that. And we have a wider range.
I don't necessarily think that's because the genre we're in. I think the genre we're in is because of how I am already, which was because I grew up listening to so much stuff. So my parents were very, like, kind of all over the place. Like I told you, my parents were obsessed with Prince. My dad's like, other thing is Journey. Like, literally all over the place. Then,
all over the
like,
place.
There's a guy I work with.
Pause it.
And there's a guy I work with. He's, like, we're good work like friends. Breakdown. And, He's big on death metal and stuff like that.
Long haired guy?
Yeah, and he's like, he went to go see A Day to Remember, together, and he can't stand them.
Mick
like,
Beach.
Like,
we're
like,
listening. We're listening.
He
listening.
He went to go see A Day to Remember, and he can't stand them. And it's like, I mean, I don't really like it, but I can tolerate them.
You want the wah?
But those of us that are like in the middle. Of the two extremes, like Screamo's kind of in between, in the middle of the two extremes of super heavy and super soft. And it's like we have like a wider range.
You know what I think it is?
First of all, Screamo is super soft.
What is it, Mike? What is it? You tell me what it is, Mike.
We just don't know how to express it to other people.
We're just fucking dumb.
We don't know how to.
Let me tell you guys something.
Damn it.
Shut the fuck up.
We're all retarded. Let me tell you something. Go ahead, Mick.
Don't even get me started. I'm clinically retarded.
You guys, are we officially just not even saying things anymore, or are we just
that board of topics we have?
This has been the Steel Podcast. Thank you guys for coming in.
To chime in.
This is
try to get the conversation back on track a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, let's hear it.
So, yes, Mr. Producer.
Okay, so with this song.
Yeah.
I didn't hear all of it.
Yeah.
The instant takeaway is it's about as memorable as something that I would hear, you know, on the radio, and it's average on par of what I would hear. The things that make me interested, the things that make me interested in this, the video, the stunts, all that stuff.
Super dope.
Super cool. Is that music? Johnny, go.
Bicycle.
Is that music?
I get what you're saying.
Is the coolest parts of what he's doing here music?
Well, this is what I'll say.
Because honestly, like, it sounds like everything else to me.
It doesn't sound like everything else to me, but I get what you're saying because you came in like halfway through it. But if you came in and listened to it when it started, it was very catchy, and he has a dope ass flow. He's got good lyrics. The video on top of it is literally just they had a stunt team and they're like a circus basically.
Like Nitro Circus?
basically a Nitro Circus that were involved in the video. So obviously the video is super dope.
How much percentage of that is Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey? And how much percentage of that is being a good song?
No, it was a good song. It's very well produced.
I disagree. No, I don't think it's
you okay. Didn't hear it. Listen to it from the beginning.
I heard. No, I
play it from the beginning.
I heard a good fucking minute naysayer, and a half of it.
You didn't even hear it.
No, I would say.
You just don't respect hip hop culture, and you're a racist. That's all
right.
It is.
You're absolutely right.
I
on
will
that.
Say,
on the first part, you're absolutely right.
I agree
right.
with Anthony a little bit. I don't know that I would.
I think hip-hop
I don't
culture
know
is,
that I'll remember sorry, this song sorry. After I leave.
Go ahead. Sorry.
But
be careful what you're saying, Anthony.
But I hip-hop will say that it is good for uh-huh. what it is.
Yes.
And I did not. I liked it, but I don't know that I'll remember it when I leave. I feel like there's other artists in that genre that like they do something and you remember it when they leave. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I'm not saying it's bad. Like, don't take that as it's bad.
I think that's an important word that's forgotten here is singability. The idea that when you leave a single, when you leave a song that you heard for the first time, do you want to sing it again? Is it in your head like that? It's not. This song is not for me. And a lot of songs that are of this genre are not for me. And that's the fucking thing to me, dude. I personally think, and honestly, you know what? I don't care if this is too much of a fucking hot take about hip hop or
it's
whatever.
It's not a hot take.
But the fact of the matter is, I think a lot of this music is all fucking flash and no substance. It's all about false bravado. It's all about saying that you're the fucking biggest shit.
I agree what you're saying when it comes to certain artists.
Being the biggest shit.
Yo, not this guy, though.
No,
but
no.
I agree what you're saying with certain artists. Yes.
So, there's a difference between songs and tracks.
Yeah.
You have to look at it like, is it a track or is it a song?
Mm-hmm. Why?
A track, because a track for me is just something that just, it's just in your playlist. It's just
in your playlist.
So what the fuck is that?
But I agree with Mike, because I was going to say that.
But there's value to it because it's something that you like. I'm looking at it from the common listener perspective.
You can mindlessly listen to it.
And
you don't dislike it.
You don't dislike
it. That's the thing. There's things you can mindlessly listen to over and over again.
And you adding it to your playlist, you're doing something. They're like, I was washing my dishes.
I kind of like this beat.
I was doing my laundry. Yeah.
No, I definitely have songs like that, for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
I have songs that are passing.
Like that. And then you show that song to somebody else, like, what the fuck is this? Uh-huh.
And then there's songs like you're in your car and you turn on instantly, and then you're just singing it as loud as you can in your car.
Songs that make you cry.
Yeah, like stuff like that. The song that you have in your car and you're singing.
That's why I do what I do.
Well, you only do that if you're gay.
It's circumstantial.
I want to ask Johnny this for real.
I said gay for the 10th time.
He's 2D. He's 2D.
I really want to ask Johnny this for real.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Is there a song that makes you cry?
Mr. Bungle? Yeah. Yeah.
Mr. Bungle, right?
No, not Mr. Bungle. to be honest, there's some Eminem songs, some Tech N9ne, some Korn songs that make me feel that way. That really get
the
me
reach
in my,
into
my,
that emotional part of you.
That get me
now,
deep.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Okay. I personally believe that the process, and let's focus on that word process,
right,
of creating music has bastardized the
get deeper
let
than
him
that.
Say what he's going to say. Anthony, I have like four more words to say.
Dig deep in there.
But no, the process of creating music has been bastardized.
Who cares? Hey, Mick, what do you... No, I'm just kidding. Anthony, go ahead.
You know, it's funny. It's funny losing momentum in this way. It really is. So I can't say shit. It makes it genuinely funny.
No, go ahead.
The process of creating music, right? Okay, I'm going to say this. I'm going to be incredibly transparent about this. I recently, the person who I've kind of been attached to for the last, I guess, like 15 years, like the
Better
person
be
who's
me.
Been.
Damn it.
It's not you, sorry. You never had sex with me in the way this person did. But anyways.
Until later.
A person I was very intimately close to, right. Anyways, they were kind of like the inspiration of how I wrote music for like the last 20 years. And recently they're with somebody else now. And it completely fucking changed how I looked at what I'm doing.
I'm sorry. She's right here.
I'm sorry, DJ. I mean, I didn't mean to put you on blast like this, but
it is not me.
I know we have something special, but
all serious levels, all that shit aside, it brought this huge epiphany to me about what art is, dude, what writing music is, what I have done for the last fucking 20 years of my life and why I've done it. And it's the idea that, like, you're trying to connect to fucking people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the music that I hear now, I don't connect to it. It's not a thing where I genuinely believe that this person made it out of that drive, out of that goal, out of the idea of trying to connect to other people. And I think that's what makes good songs. I think that's what makes truly lasting songs, truly epic songs, is when someone makes it from their heart and is trying to connect to other people around them. And now it's just a marketing tool.
Mm. Let me ask you this, okay, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
No,
I have something to ask him, too.
Keep going.
What do you find? What do you define as epic?
To me,
storybook hero.
To me, honestly, the number one thing is a line.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
When someone sings a line or says it, speaks it, or whatever, bands like Touche Amore, they don't really sing. They just say lines or whatever. Being as an ocean, they just say lines. But when someone says an emotion, when they say a sentence that's like, fuck, dude, that connected to me in a way that, like, yeah. I can't connect. I can't keep myself together right now.
But that's the thing, though.
I'm falling apart.
But what you're talking about is it has a foundation to it. It has a concrete based foundation to it of, like, since music is subjective, people do have a different definition of what is epic to them, what they emotionally connect to. Because I feel like people come from different lineages. They come from different upbringings and stuff.
Any number of different things can affect what makes you attach yourself emotionally,
like,
to something.
Like you talk about writing music that connects to people. Like for me, I simply just write music that I personally
you want to hear,
listen to.
Yeah, that's me. Like, that's me.
Yeah, like
that's exactly what I was gonna say.
I could give a shit less if people like it or not.
See, I think
No. That's kind of the crux of what my point is, dude. Let me say this really quick. Yeah, shut the fuck up. Please. But that's the
don't
crux
shut
of
the fuck up.
You will keep going.
That's the crux of my
never
point.
Gonna
right
happen.
Here is literally thanks, Johnny. I know you're right about that. But that's the crux of my point. Is like, let's say DJ, some bullshit fucking happens to you, and it inspires you to sit down for 24 hours and then fucking write a song.
Literally that, 24
that,
hours.
Yeah, that literally it obsesses your whole fucking day. It completely takes over your whole fucking day. And then at the end of the day, you walk away with this thing that you need to show people. That's like, hey, this is an expression of my emotions. For real. For real. This is an expression of how I feel.
You've done that.
And when you do that, right?
Yeah.
It's something special. And that versus watching other people do it for commercial purposes is assaulting to me.
Like when somebody asks you to just make something.
So like I've written songs just because I've had an idea in my head and it's like, I need to get this shit out. But there's been a few where I have actually translated what's going on right here into sound. And those are some of my favorite songs I've ever written.
But Anthony, you just described what I was talking to you about earlier, the difference between songs and tracks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just described a track.
That's why I wanted you to elaborate on it.
Because commercial stuff is usually a track.
And a song is what you put your entire heart and soul into. Like, there's like, you guys are vocalists. Like, you guys understand when you sit and you have to write lyrics for something, right? You could write lyrics that are just like, well, this sounds catchy and somebody might really like it and they're kind of probably going to sing it to themselves over and over again and like maybe they'll play it at a party or something. Like there's stuff like that. But then there's stuff that you write that you sit with and you put, and this is where I feel like where I connect to like other people's songs and stuff too. You put a piece of yourself in that song. And this is what you're feeling, what you felt, you're reliving something. Like I have a song on the last album we did and
I can't even listen to it
without crying.
Well, because he wasn't around when I was going through the problem that I wrote about. This was like way before I had met him. So to actually,
but he does have a, you probably described to him.
Yes, because
the
I've been with him and I've, you know, told him everything that happened, and then I wrote this song.
It literally breaks my heart.
And yeah. to have to, you know, and I didn't write this song for me. That's the big thing, is like some people are like, oh, I wrote this song for me to get this out. And it wasn't for me to get this out on paper, because it's something that I had already gone through years and years and years and years ago. I put this song out on paper because somebody else might hear it and it might help them go through that.
And that's the thing that I kind of feel like a lot of artists have in their way a little bit, is the sentiment. The sentiment that they felt writing it, the sentiment that they expect people to have when they show people their music. You know what I mean? When you, if you don't, they don't get the reaction. I'm like, oh, cause, I'm like, for me, it's just like, I show people music. I'm like, oh, cool. If you like it, if you don't, you know what I mean? You never know. You never know who you're going to show something that you wrote. They're like, oh, what the fuck? This is like, I'm connecting with this. You know what I mean? Which is,
that's gratifying. That's the tracks element. Where it's like, oh yeah, I just made this thing. You know what I mean? And then it's like, if you have a song where you're like, you take it personal if people don't like it. You know what I mean?
No. I'm saying it in the song sense. Like, I'm writing a song that I like. It's a song. It's an actual song I wrote, and I have emotional connection to it. I have sentiment towards it. I have expectations.
R-E-N-A.
I have expectations of the response of how it's received. You know what I mean? The expectation of response that for it to be received versus the sentiment that I have for the song in and of itself to myself. I, you know what I mean? Like, I have to take it with a grain of salt.
What would you say about songs that you do for, I guess, placements and stuff? Like, what would you say about those songs?
It's like for placements for me, it's like, I look at it when I, especially with tracks wise, they start off as tracks, but then guess what? They end up as great soundtracks sometimes.
So if let's say this, Mick, too, honestly, because this is something I've always been super curious about. Let's say you get a placement for like a fucking hot account. Like you actually like play something for like fucking Geico or something huge. Then you hear your song play on a commercial that means kind of nothing to you on a personal level, but it's playing on a commercial it plays every day or whatever. How do you think you would feel about that? You'd be full proud, right? Would it be pride?
I'm establishing a bullet point for myself for if people are interested, even if it is a track, people can, it just people know.
It'll be, dude, if I were to ever write a jingle as memorable as like 1-800-33-EMPIRE, like if I were to ever, I would feel.
588-2300-EMPIRE. Today. That's a SoCal reference.
That's a story of my life that plays in my head 24/7.
I mean, as far as jingles goes, I mean, those, like I said, I always like think about stuff like that where it's like,
Rugrats
who write those, like they're like literally little 12-second musical parts that have connected with the entire world. Almost the entire world like sees that and is able to connect to it. So it's like on another level that would like touch me a little bit. If I wrote a jingle and I was like, you know, I'm not super invested in writing jingles. Like no, I want to write metal really music not. And shit. But like if I did it, I'd be like, I'm proud.
Yeah, but there's an importance to it. It serves an importance. Yeah. So you know what I mean? To especially if it's somebody else's brand, if you're writing a jingle for them.
Yeah,
you're making music. Yeah, you get the credits and stuff for writing that music.
So like, you know, like before that even happens, like someone had to have heard the stuff that you've made to even reach out to you.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, hey, write this thing for me. And it's like, oh yeah, I'll take 5 minutes out of my day to
write something stupid alone gives you a gratification that like, somebody else acknowledges me.
But the person that wrote 588-2300-EMPIRE today, they probably thought nothing of it.
Right.
Don't forget the bass line at the end.
Yeah, but like
you forgot that.
But like the fact that that's gone on for however many fucking decades.
Decades, not years. Decades.
Yeah, decades. It's like. Oh, that's cool.
What's the best jingle, you guys?
Tell your Bradley's now.
I was telling him that I love Tito's tacos. You love Tito's too.
You're quiero Taco Bell.
We talk about all the deep shit on this podcast, the jingles of time.
Honestly, but like when you're contracted to do something like that, you think like nothing of it. Like, I'm going to get paid, like, okay, cool. And then you make it and it lasts for fucking 20, 30 years.
Yeah. I mean, legacy. Look at the general, like that, dude.
That's gotta general, be fucking incredible.
The general adapted. He used to do. Yeah. He was the
5, 8, 8, 2, 300 Empire.
Today. No, but the general was the insurance one. He did. It was like it was a whole jingle like about the phone number, and then he changed it to if you're something blah blah blah. Go online and save yourself some time, and he adapted it, it was the same jingle.
Yeah.
And then he just made it for the internet.
I guarantee you, the people that have wrote that thought nothing of it at the time.
Jingles, but that
we don't acknowledge.
Johnny hit the board.
Johnny being dumb.
Yeah, we don't acknowledge what just happened.
It's all right. It's all right.
But it's so, like, you know, like at the end of the day, money is money. Like if people contact you to write
something, yeah,
write it.
Totally.
And then, but like when they contact you to write it, because I've been hit up to ghostwrite things and I've done it.
So,
and like when you do it, you're not exactly proud, but if it goes on to like last
to success,
and it's like, huh? Okay, right. Cool.
So, okay, so this is kind of like, I guess, the pivotal, like, kind of point of my discussion here is, creating music from right here, which is very, very important to me.
Yeah, that
very important to me.
Yes,
creating music
very
from
much.
The heart.
Yeah.
That's the reason I do it.
1,000%.
Versus the people who actually, honestly, in a lot of regards of the sense of the conversation, would be more successful at it. Could be people who wrote a fucking million jingles and have $1 million in their pocket now from that. Right. And the level of investment that they have in those songs is like slim to nil.
Yeah. So
there's no investment really there.
Yeah.
And
so
they didn't care about that part of it.
No.
And I've spent a lot of my career caring a lot of that part of it.
Yeah.
And it's like, so what is that worth? What is that worth? Mm-hmm. That to me is like, It's the eternal question, the artist, right? The tortured artist trying to fucking create something new, trying to create something that people haven't heard before, trying to create something that at least breaks the mold a little bit,
so
changes people's brains a little bit versus success.
What I've noticed with working with you and working with Mick. Like,
not me. Not me.
Stuff we did.
I know.
What about me?
Not to name
what about me, DJ?
Whatever, you know?
Not me.
Whatever, asshole.
Stuff with Anthony.
And Mick.
And
I guess I can't think of anybody else. Anyways, continue.
You know, the stuff we did back in 06, 07, 08.
I look back on that shit, it's like some of my funnest stuff that I ever did.
But we were always ahead of the curve.
Because we were just doing whatever we wanted to do.
And then
there was no rules.
Yeah.
There was no rules to it.
When we split up and stopped doing everything that we were doing, everybody that came behind us did what we did.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier. Like, how does that make you feel? Like, to know that you guys kind of established something.
We were literally.
And then you didn't benefit from the thing you established.
It's the same as in the business sense, because you know, like we're all working adults, and if you form a company and you have an idea, if you're too far ahead of the curve, you're not going to capitalize on that.
Yeah,
no.
Well, that's the whole thing with the female thing.
You have to be just
wasn't a thing.
You have to be just ahead of the curve to capitalize. Like you have to be the one that pulls the curve forward. But if you're so far ahead, people aren't ready for it. Like right now,
right now,
people are trying to make augmented reality and virtual reality a thing, and we're just not there yet.
And I don't know. I mean, we watched them some VR Legend of Zelda and VR Metal Gear Solid.
Oh, sick.
And that's pretty close to how all I need. That's pretty close to all I need right now.
But still, like...
Do you guys think it's just
luck? We're just not there yet.
It's just luck then?
But
yeah, 1,000%.
It's got to be just luck. What is
segue?
There,
it has to be.
I'm gonna segue with this combo. Like,
but the stuff that we wrote in 2006.
See, I don't feel like it's luck though.
With you and with Wii U,
Mick,
the stuff that we wrote.
What he says. I want to hear what he says. Go.
That stuff is just for me. It's like I have to accept it, and I have to move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. we've always been ahead of the curve.
I get that. I get it. I get that. Yeah, we were doing shit, but guess what?
What is that?
It's the same brain. It's the same fucking brain.
Like, Enter Shikari came after us.
I have to put myself there.
But
definitely, yes.
We were doing what they were doing.
But what I'm saying is
I don't think it's luck, though.
I think we live in California. And when we look, if we look at that board, right? With the exception of Wilder, right? And Wilder, it's been kind of hard for. But everybody else, what states are they from? Not here. Well, so if we're going to look...
It's easier to stick out in a market that's not California.
But I don't even think that's true, though. So if we're talking about our first thing on the freaking list that we haven't talked about, playing shows, right? Our music scene sucks. Let's be real.
Basically said
in
California.
Define our music scene. Southern California?
Southern California,
Empire, LA, all that.
Southern
stuff.
California, LA. It goes from LA all the way Evan down. Because even San Diego's not that bad. Because I've been down in San Diego, I don't feel like that bad. But up here, i.e., LA County, it's awful. So like, we do a lot of pay to play. Bands can't afford to do that.
Yeah,
no.
Right, that kills bands.
Promotion.
Two. Wait.
Let's
two.
Go.
We're finally getting to a topic.
Let's go.
Fuck you guys.
But not even just that. Okay, our scene is so like kills bands is a better way to put it. So if you want to go talk to the promoters, right? And I don't even want to call them promoters. They're just bookers. I've never had, actually take that back. I've had maybe like two promoters actually promote me. One was Afton when we were talking about playing with Emery and we played with the Classic Crime and this was right before we stopped playing shows. That was with a company called Afton. We never met anybody from the actual company. Everything was done online. We worked with
mail, got the tickets, all online. That stuff.
But we worked directly with the tour package when we were there. So it was like we were just part of the tour package for a night. So it was actually the smoothest shows we had ever been on. We weren't
actually blamed for that, right? Though, like, it's not Afton or whatever that promotion company is. It's the record labels. That's the record labels literally outsourcing work to other, you know, promotional companies that are, I will say, this is the part where they're guilty, mm-hmm. not doing the footwork necessary to promote the show.
But those were actually promoted. Oh, yeah. That company promoted us like crazy.
Yeah, I pushed and pushed.
We were on flyers for the show.
Yes.
How many times have you gone on the Chain Reaction website and then the openers that are local bands are not on the flyer? We were on the flyer. Like, we were on the tour package and we played with them for one night. That's how much they were promoting that company, and we never met a person from them.
Okay, so
that company was awesome.
Afton is based in fucking Seattle.
Yeah, it's not down here, but Afton was great.
They are the only company.
Comparison of, let's say, other
pirate. I will throw. I'm never playing a show live again.
Promotional companies.
I will throw names out.
Come on,
Pirate, and then what is it? Breakthrough.
Yeah,
come on, Treasure Fest.
Okay. Dig this. Okay, so when Digital Panic was still starting out and trying to like do live shows.
How long ago are you guys talking about right now? This is a few years ago, right?
2 years.
2011, 2012?
Right, 2016-ish.
Oh, no, okay. No, if we're talking about when Digital Panic us.
No, Breakthrough messaged Digital Panic and I was like, and I was the one that responded. And I was like, you guys have a reputation that precedes you as being really shitty. Okay, so
that reputation, remember I told you about the first band where we had to pay five shows?
What can you do for us that benefits us?
Remember I told you the band where I had to play five shows to get on a show with a signed band? Mm-hmm. That was Breakthrough.
Yep.
I was like 12, 13, 14.
That's the whole
I played shows of Breakthrough.
When I asked them, what can you do for us?
No, but that
they ghosted me.
Exactly. No, and that's the question never answered.
DJ, you forgot. That, they're not there to do anything for you.
Yeah, they're not promoters.
Exactly.
They're bookers. Yeah. And this is where I'm talking about where in this state it's bad and why we kill music and why we kill talent is because the pay to play sucks because we can't all financially pay for all the tickets in the venue that exceed the occupancy of the actual venue.
Let's also talk about how the amount of pre-sale tickets to sell exceeded the venue capacity that the fire department set safety reasons. Like
also,
you had to sell 500 tickets, but the venue only sits
300 safely, or whatever.
50 people.
Yeah. So,
and it's like, that exceeds the amount of people that it can even fit in the fucking building.
So but we didn't know.
Where does that money go?
We didn't know. So we're paying $500 out of pocket to go and play a show.
Yeah. Oh, I knew 100% of the time.
You know what that is, though? That's they know that there's a percentage of people they know are not going to show up at all.
Yes.
So they're expecting you to fill that percentage.
Yes. But that defeats their name. Their promoter. They don't promote.
No.
A promoter would imply. Here's I have actually been a promoter.
I know, but Tori, here's the thing that completely, I would say, changed right around 2008 is that people stopped remembering exactly what their role was. And I will say this from experience doing shows for 6 years myself, putting them on myself, right? Is literally working as a promoter. Working as a person in the band to promote that single band and then encouraging, you know, other bands to promote their band for their shows and their event. This is a catch 22 of that whole fucking system. That whole system, basically you have a room that gets booked, whatever, if it's the fucking House of Blues, if it's Chain Reaction, if it's the Glass House, you have a room that gets booked. It has an expectancy of how much money is supposed to be made from that booking. Okay. Now with that comes the responsibility of making sure there's so many heads in that room. Okay. You could put that responsibility on the booker who's putting together the event, or you could put it on the bands that are playing the event. And it's easier to put it on the bands. Like I said, speaking as a booker, as a person who's been put in the position of a booker, it's
yeah, but you're saying
you're given the amount of heads you have to fill, and you have to just headhunt for that.
Because that's what Afton does good.
The easiest way to do that is to outsource to the bands. Hey, we have this many tickets we want to sell. So that's why these people fall into this position naturally, right? Is they book a room, they have a number that they need to meet, and then they outsource that work to the bands. And then
guess
what happens with those kind of shows?
House shows?
You end up filling a room with at least the bare minimum of what you need.
Well, let me
finish this point real quick. Let's say you have a room that you need about 50 people in. You can book that very easily by booking five bands that bring about five people on their own. And that's the thing. People don't take into account the fact that the bands are now part of the headcount. That's so important. That's so fucking crucial.
Well, Pirate took that into account.
Yes, exactly. The band needs to not be part of that headcount. Because we're there watching the show, supporting the other bands and being in the audience, there for support.
But we're also doing bad things.
But the fact of the matter is, we're not part of the audience. We're here to play. We're here to play. So you get five bands. Guess what? You just filled the room with at least 25 people, and it's all those bands.
But that's what was wrong with all the shows towards the end.
Exactly. That's exactly what
was
wrong.
It was just bands watching each other.
You know what I miss? We played. And Nick. We played a show one night at the Wire with a band. I forgot what their name was. And then after that show was done, the headliner band of that show was like, hey, come to our hometown in Yuma, Arizona.
That's how we got that show, yeah.
And play with
us. That was one of the funnest shows we ever played, still.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, to this day,
that's one of my funnest shows.
Yeah, I don't know how that window broke.
We broke windows.
But you and I have talked about this. The culture early on in this was way different than how it was when we stopped.
They were just like, hey, we like you guys. Come out here. Our parents didn't like it. But we did it. And that was probably one of the best shows I've ever played.
No, I agree. I agree. And I would say it's all because it's off of that DIY way of doing things.
But back then, the music scene was a family.
Yeah, it's not anymore. It was people. It hasn't been for a while.
It wasn't bastardized by the promoter parts.
But like,
but they pin us against each other. That's what I was getting all, to, by the way.
Every show we played, we all stayed to the end of the show, supported every band that played, cheered the loudest.
We got donuts with the headlining band of that night, right?
Every time we donuts,
we fucking went and got donuts. And
in Yuma, we went to that donut shop. But every time we played at the Wire, we were like, hey, let's all go to fucking A&W. Let's all go to the nearest fast food joint.
There had been times that we had tried to do that.
And then when I joined
Digital Panic and it didn't.
Yeah, when I joined her band, and when Digital Panic reformed as a full band, that wasn't a thing anymore.
Because we would try. We would try to make friends with people. Hey, come hang out. Hey, come to. And, you know, it becomes so,
at some point when we were all a local music family, it became a local music competition.
Yes. To ask you real quick, what element of that part of it, like let's take all of the factor of playing the music part of it out of the equation, just playing music. But the hang at what percentage of importance would you put that? Because I would put that pretty high, dude.
Yeah, it was
me, it's like 50%.
It was
like,
high to me.
Shells,
yeah, my favorite part.
We have the hang.
Yeah, my favorite part of playing shows at that time was, what are we going to do after?
Yeah, because there was bands that I was in at that time, and we literally would play shows with like the almost like the same three bands, but we would all go kick it at somebody's house after, or go eat Denny's together,
or we would just go hang at
each other's houses after our bands had practiced separate and just hang out.
Okay, so
we'd share band members and everything.
Let's say on this respect of it,
all in this room start a new band.
We were talking about that.
Hang, just play Super Smash Brothers after playing.
We
a
were
bunch
talking
of
about that.
Songs.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Yo, I'm down as shit.
But no, I feel like, okay, so that's,
I'm a musical slut. I'll do anything at this point.
Of what I miss about what music used to be is that when I would go to a show, there would be the whole like stress and you know, fucking maelstrom of, all right, we got to get our set together, we got to get everything on stage, boom, boom, boom. You do all that, and then once you're done, it's you,
the second the show started,
with strangers, with bands we've never played with, Lifeless Animation, bands like that, we had never met them, and then that night we were just like fucking, we would chill with them, we're like, oh, fucking, we're homies,
1,000%,
we're brothers in arms.
Yeah, it's like, I'll take your pants off, I don't even care.
But it died, and I feel... Yeah,
I'm so glad we got that, Clint. I don't care. I'll take your pants off.
So back then we were literally a fucking musical family.
But I feel like it died.
That died. When I joined her band and started playing stuff, I was like, what is going on?
Because we would play. Because we were like, trying to still do that. Because we're old.
Yeah, I felt like a friend.
I literally felt
like a fish out of water.
Yeah, it was.
Everybody was competing against each other.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get to. I feel like that happened because of the promoters.
Yeah.
What were you saying, Mike?
Well, everyone back then, everyone was seen as an act. We were an act. When we would perform, we were an act. So other acts would commingle because we had that idea that we were an act. We did
We knew what was on the card for us.
But literally, every show we played.
We took that at face value, and then, all right, then we accepted each other for it.
Yeah.
Whether we got each other's genres or not, we accept each other.
Dude, I had friends that were complete left field for me.
But back then, when we played shows, who was the loudest ones cheering for us?
Other bands.
The people that were playing the shows.
Oh, and yeah. The other bands.
We were the loudest ones cheering for them, too.
But when we would do that...
Like, when I would do that nowadays...
People look at us
for the last bands that we played with, people are like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck?
Well, how recent was that? Like your guys' last
2020.
Shows.
Right before
February
COVID.
2020.
So this is the last show we played. The last show we played was January of COVID.
Can I zoom in on Johnny's camera?
Wait, what?
I just want to zoom in on the note you wrote. Can you play it for us?
What did I write?
I saw it when he went to the room.
That's good shit, dude. That's good shit. You put my cat up? That's personal. Take that shit down.
Hey, I love that Anthony is gay.
Take the cat down.
I love that cat.
That cat is good. Take it down.
When I was tracking stuff for our cover songs, that cat would come and sit on my lap.
I feel like the promoters put a lot of competition on us. All right,
officially, guys, I will take the fucking
It's been five hours.
The bull by the horns here. It's like we're going on 3 hours. It's 2:55, guys.
We're gonna have to make a part three.
Look, that's 2:55. I'm looking at 2:55. I'm not joking.
Okay. I'll say this about live shows. Insert
this clip. We'll be back for part two.
Exactly.
Say it again, clean.
We'll be back for part two.
And three and four.
And then we'll be back for part three.
Daniel will be back for part two. Let's get plugs, guys. This is a three to four weeks of podcast for you.
I'm gonna say something.
He can talk on me all he wants.
I think maybe me and Anthony have been the ones that have been playing more shows lately. I agree with you guys. At that time when I was in my band To Kill For, it was a lot of bullshit, especially with the guy.
In the last 2 years have changed.
Yes.
Since then.
But when I was playing with Abracadabra, we were booking through Breakthrough, and also through when I was in my band To Kill For, booking with Breakthrough. I mean, they would give us like 40, 50 tickets at $20 a pop. I'm like, yeah, it's not going to happen.
Nah.
Okay.
A lot of that shit came out of pocket.
Okay. So dig this. The promoters send every band a set amount of tickets, and there's however many.
The secret DJ.
And there's however many bands. When you multiply the amount of bands that are playing with the tickets that they're given,
we already talked about that. Yeah. It goes over the capacity.
Exceeds the amount.
You want to know the sad
that
secret?
That the fire department.
We know that
says exceeds the maximum capacity.
Exactly. And take advantage of that. But you want to know the secret?
I was probably peeing at the time.
You were
so
here.
So it's like. The building only holds like 200 people, and there's like six bands,
500 tickets
like,
for the bill.
Like if six every, bands, 50 every, tickets
if
each.
If
like
we sold every ticket, every band, but, it'd be 1,000 people in there.
Yeah,
so like this, this is the thing that I liked at the end when we played our last like few shows. When we were playing Afton, right? So Afton was very straightforward. Afton's like, we have to make X amount of money. So you can either sell the tickets to make X amount of money, or you can put the money into the pot. It's up to you.
Yeah.
So we would try to sell the tickets, and if we didn't at the end, we just put the money in the pot. But Afton pays you, by the way. Thank you. So anything, if the show sells out and we sold tickets and we didn't pay out of the pot,
yes,
Afton pays you. Because they're paying with a signed band. They pay you. But they straight up tell you that's what it is. This is what it is. This is how much money you need. This is what we need. So they don't tell you some bull that you need to sell 50 tickets at $20 a pop.
I would say that's the most.
And that's what I don't like. If you would just tell me like, hey, like each band needs to fork up $250.
Right.
Yeah.
Then I'd be like, okay, cool.
To me, that's my take on everything. At the end of the day, I truly feel if you want to do shows, just book them yourself. At that's this true. Point, maybe I'm lucky enough to know and have enough connections. Maybe that's just me being privileged and lucky enough to know enough of the people where I'm like, I can book a show. I could. Hey, I'm Cuban, bitch. But I could have enough, pull with a person in, Coachella Valley, or a person in Pomona, or a person in L.A. And that's three shows right there. That's the three next Dead Widow shows, and we'll promote them. We will provide the
September 7th. By the way,
I don't know. Do you still want to do it? I found a bassist, but if you want to do it, let me know.
My duty.
It's his birthday month.
Good move, DJ.
September 7th. That's everybody's birthday.
I still have.
I told you
the podcast listeners have no idea what the fuck we're talking about right now.
They can listen to whatever.
This is very inside baseball right now.
My main point being, when it comes to shows, I would say, currently, if you are in a band trying to do things DIY, it is a lot easier to set up your own show, do it for 2 or 3 months in the future, set it up, promote it yourself, get the bands yourself, figure out the door deal yourself, do all of that, and you could actually run some pretty good, successful shows.
Yeah,
it's actually not too difficult. But I would say that's the black hole right now in the promotion business with Southern California, is there's a lot of people cleaning up. They're cleaning up, dude.
Yes.
It sucks. It sucks. To me, I hate to call these people out for doing it, because a lot of these people have been sweethearts to me, but that means shit at the end of the day when you really track down the numbers and you're like, no, this person is taking money from me.
Yeah, because that's what it was. It's like, yeah, I'll be your homie, but
the
I'm
ones that make all the money
I'm
for them
burning right. you for $500.
Yeah,
right.
You know, so it's like
they're not our friends.
Well, right. that was
it's hard to acknowledge that, but that's the truth.
Well, that's the thing. Like Crown,
the
Shane never did that to us. He was always very like open with how much that also, we needed to put through.
But the collective.
Oh yeah, the
they were the ones that we wanted to work with before COVID happened.
Yeah,
but everybody before that, like,
well, we only had Shane that was good to us.
Yeah, he was the only one.
Breakthrough and Pirate kind of scammed us and were never straightforward with us.
Right.
And then Afton, even though they're in a different state, was great to us.
Yeah. Afton was the only ones that were like, "Hey, we'll pull you on sign."
Wouldn't you say? In just as a summation for this whole point, for this whole conversation, wouldn't you say that, you know, we're talking about the time frames of what, like 2008 and before that, like pre 2008, and then post 2008, where all these companies, Afton, Pirate, all this stuff showed
so,
up.
Like,
go Johnny, go Johnny, go.
Yeah, because when we were doing all the homie hangout stuff,
you're kidding me. That's the cut to you.
When we were doing
something to say, and that's the cut to you.
When we were doing all the homie hangout stuff, there was no promoters. Not really.
It's wild. It's wild. It's a wild.
How many backyard shows did we do?
Dude, we played backyard shows, somebody's living room shows, The Wire, a church, the Nitty Gritty, like
the Nitty Gritty was the shit.
Yeah, the freaking Nitty Gritty, bro.
But like
the fucking Gritty.
But that's just stuff. Like people would just link up and do stuff. Like I played with Sleeping Giant as a band that had no business playing with Sleeping Giant. When I was like 14,
this is what
with
I
no promoter.
Say. This is what I will say.
I want to take his pants off.
Complete chaos.
I've been in this scene for a long time. I played back in the day when you guys
you
were
can
playing,
be in my scene for. A
I
long
was
time.
There with my band to kill for. Right,
I'll kill for you.
I'm in a band that's currently been playing shows, touring.
Dang,
like. Out in Bakersfield and shit like that. Not touring, but I will say many little runs and shit. I will say three promoters that I respect and that I fuck with heavy.
Go.
C's Productions.
C's?
Never heard of them.
Condor Productions.
Condor's good. I respect Condor. I love fucking Brandon, dude.
Brandon's
the man.
Shit, dude. He's
Brandon
my homie.
Is the fucking man.
I've known that guy for many years.
Yes, same here.
He's the homie. And also Young Blood Productions.
Yes! Hey! Yes! That is such a freaking
Yes!
When he was first starting out, we worked with him. And he was also freaking good. Nathan's freaking awesome.
Yes.
Nathan's always been good at every time we've worked with Nathan.
Nathan is the homie, bro.
Nathan's a freaking dude. But you know why Nathan's good? Because Nathan was in a freaking band.
But Nathan cares.
He understands.
He understands how we feel.
Hey,
like, Nathan, if you ever listen to this, Digital Panic still loves you. You are our you're our fucking favorite.
You guys don't know this.
Wait, no. This is This is podcast. This is podcast. Run for the mill here. If you have everything that everyone is like unanimous on. We chant.
Dude.
So, Nathan.
Nathan. Nathan. Nathan. Nathan. Nathan. Nathan. Nathan. Nathan.
Nathan. Scene three. Scene four. Nathan.
But seriously.
Nathan, we don't play anymore because he's old. But I will force him to come out of retirement to play. We will play a show with these guys and come out of retirement and get the band back together and come out of retirement to play for you.
We'll have the only people
that we would do that for.
We'll have all of you learn our songs to fucking play again.
We still have band members that are still band members. Only one band member is gone out of state, but the rest of them, we can get back together.
No, we've worked with a ton of promoters throughout our time, and Nathan's one of the best.
Yeah, he's
good. Like, Youngblood's one of the best. He's a good,
honestly, I mean this with all respect.
He's
and every kind of like high regard I could say it, he's a good shit.
Yeah, so
he's a good shit.
He's a good guy. He's just a good guy. But outside of all that stuff, he's a good guy.
No, but I don't throw compliments around. Like, if I don't mean it, I don't say it.
Yeah, DJ hates people.
Yeah, I fucking hate everybody. But him... Like
he's a good shit.
He actually gave a fuck.
Yeah.
That's good.
And anytime he hit us up to play something, we're like, okay.
Yeah. I'm big for transparency, he's another one of those guys that's transparent.
Like, when and where?
Dude, like, I don't even care if you're trying to gouge me for money. Just freaking tell me you're trying to gouge me for money. Like, that's what I would rather have than somebody be like, hey, like,
some of my favorite shows that we've played have been with him.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
I fucking love
him. In the P-Town.
Hell yeah.
All right, with that,
let's wrap her up. Mick, you want to get us going with plugs?
We haven't talked about this board.
This has been the Stool Podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed this long, extravagant rambling.
First three-hour pod. Here we go.
I'm sorry.
We'll have to come back for another one.
Yes, sir.
Don't worry. We'll have you guys back for sure. Right.
So, I am Extradamus. I have a new single out on Spotify. It's called Lullaby. Go ahead and check it out.
Listen to
it. We have a new song. Or actually a new EP coming up, next month? Right.
The EP is going to be next month. Yeah,
our EP is next month. Ignite. It's going to be pretty good.
I'll tell you the exact date. Keep on going, Mick.
On Monday we have. Oh, by the time you see this, it's going to be out.
Cup of song.
Cup of song. Music video will be out.
Cup of song. I'm a big chant guy. Sorry.
Yeah, I can tell. I'll
chant you till I got
what you guys have, Johnny.
Johnny.
So I appreciate you guys listening. Thank you very much. This is a long episode. So if you guys are here at this moment in the episode,
we love you.
Yo, we love you.
I love you.
I want you to personally DM me if you got to this part of the episode. If you did, I got something special for you.
Yes.
On top of that, I appreciate you guys. Look up my IG, my YouTube, my TikTok, everything at Johnny Savage, JonnySavag. Also, September 13th is when our EP drops for The Dunce. It's called Ignite.
Can we get an early preview?
Yeah,
of what you guys have.
We'll show you after the episode.
Because I heard it today, and I'm gonna listen to it more when I get home. But
Did you show them some, Mick?
But can we listen to it now?
We'll show them some.
I don't
we'll
know if they some. Have anything on YouTube, but that's all I have access to.
Yeah, maybe Spotify.
We'll show
a couple of songs.
So, Johnny, you done?
No. Also, my other band, DNG. We have
DNG.
A
DNG.
We have an
DNG.
DNG. DNG. DNG.
All right, that's fine. That's enough chanting.
We are dropping an EP on August 8th or something like that.
Come on, dude.
I think it's the 8th.
We're dropping something somewhere.
What a fucking slacker, dude.
And also
he had everything in lock and just fucking that.
And also Bind the Dark and twitch.tv/CKirby.
Your plugs are coming.
Yeah, it's just your
comment. I'm going to plug him anyway.
Hey, DJ, shut up real quick.
I ain't going to stop nothing.
Shut up real quick. Wait a minute. August 8th.
You were right.
DNG, we're dropping our EP. It's called Distress, Nile, and Ghastly.
Release it on the 5th my birthday.
It's going to be mostly hardcore.
He's so hardcore.
Hardcore.
He's so hardcore.
Release it on the 5th for my birthday.
All right, Bored Bitch goes last.
His birthday's the 5th?
Yeah.
I like it.
That's all I got.
Plugs, guys.
So I'm going to plug Bind the Dark.
I'm going to plug you, band. DJ.
It's a dark. Band that Digital Panic's drummer is playing for currently.
Mm-hmm.
And then also twitch.tv/CAKirby.
That's our guitar player, Kirby, who we love and miss Twitch. Both these guys, by the way.
And that, and then this shirt.
Nice.
That show, That's Enough Comeback. It was a Pokemon live stream that Kirby did.
Nice.
Funny.
I will selfishly plug myself. You can follow me at Instagram @T_Riot. You can also look out for...
Also plug DJ because he's stupid and doesn't plug himself.
Well, DJ doesn't go on social media. But you can find him at my Instagram. We may revive Digital Panic. That has been a thing that has been talked between all of the guys and myself.
Please do.
Hey, Anthony, you want to join it?
So we have been in...
I've been playing bass recently.
Want to join
us? Have a bassist.
We need a guitar player.
Join it?
But we have been talking about that. So you can follow us at Digital Panic, Digital_Panic on Instagram too. So you might find new music on there.
That fucking bassist sucks.
I heard the current bassist for Digital Panic is pretty gay.
He's a gay guy. He fucking sucks.
Got him.
All right. What else is that?
That's it.
Alrighty, well, we're wrapping up the Stool Podcast. Everybody, wave goodbye as we say goodbye. My last plugs are Uncle Energy _ Dead Widow CA.
Yes, and that's Baldur's Gate 3.
That's all I got. We love you guys. Thank you for hanging in there for 3 hours with us. This was a fucking awesome and fun episode. We love you. Peace out.
Shoot.